Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Psalm 99, verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. So we have a picture. The throne of God and the cherubims surround the throne of God as protecting angels. Does God need protection? Absolutely not. But you have that picture the same way you have that Ark of the Covenant and the two cherubs that were surrounding the Ark of the Covenant and that mercy seat. You see that picture in heaven. Also in Isaiah chapter number 37, speaking of the cherubim, and I had it marked. There it is. Isaiah 37, 16. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God. So again, you see some references about these cherubims. Okay? That's plural. A singular name would be cherub. You've heard that before, the word cherub. That's singular. Cherubims. With an S, the Bible puts an S on it in many places. It's plural, cherubs, okay? And they're designed for protection. I mentioned about the seraph, or the seraphims. They're designed for worship. And I mentioned, again, about the cherub. Lucifer was a cherub. In Ezekiel chapter number 28, let me begin in verse number 13. Lucifer was created. We know as... know the name for the devil or Satan or the dragon or whatever. Lucifer was a created being by God. We find in verse number 13, Ezekiel 28, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Again, this kind of describes, describes Satan, who is a cherub. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Before I read any farther, I know I shouldn't do this, but I will. A lot of people believe that there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. They call it the gap theory. Another, how many of y'all ever heard that? If you've been in this church before, you've heard that before. We don't believe in the gap theory. In other words, there's millions of years between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. The only gap in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 is between your ears. You're thinking wrong. Okay. Most people who believe that would tell you that there was a pre-Adamic race somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. I won't go. When we studied the book of Genesis a couple of years ago, we talked about this, about the chaos and the, what's the Hebrew word, tohu or whatever those Hebrew words were. You know, anyway, the chaos and all. They said that's when all this, when Satan fell, in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, and I won't go into all the detail. I don't believe that at all. And this is one of the verses that speaks of that. When God created Eden, okay, we're reading that Satan was there. Before his fall, he was there. Well, why did he fall? Again, I don't want rabbits here, but it's so important. I want you to get the picture. When God created man, that was on the sixth day, remember? The first 5 days, God said, it's good, it was good, it was good. First 5 days. The sixth day, he created the animals, but he created especially the man. When he said, let us, the triune God, let us create man in our image. And he did just that. And when he made Adam, read it in Genesis chapter 2, I think it is. God didn't say it was good. God said, it's very good. Man was God's crowning achievement. He made the sun, the moon, the stars, all the animal, the plant, everything. But God's crowning achievement was when he made Adam. And Satan saw that after 6 days. And he saw what, he was in Eden. He saw all these things. And when he created man, though, Satan desired man's worship. And he came to them and said, I will be like the Most High God. And we just, are y'all following? So Satan fell after the creation of the Garden of Eden, after Adam was created, then Satan fell. After Adam was made, Satan fell. Okay, so you get the picture here. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets. I could talk about that. And all. And thy pipes were prepared in the day that thou wast created. God created him. Matter of fact, if I could use this term, many of us, it's not biblically the term, but he would be God's high sheriff, okay? Satan would be. There's Michael. We see Michael. We see Gabriel. We see Lucifer. Three different domains. And that's a whole different, another study there. But Lucifer was a top dog in God's order, okay? Verse number 14. Thou art the anointed cherub. What does the word anointed mean? In other words, there were other cherubs, but he was the anointed cherub. What does anointed mean? He was set apart. Appoint's a good word too, but he was special. He was anointed, like how Samuel would anoint King David and all. And you know, Lucifer was not just a cherub, he was anointed. He was a big dog. Okay, you understand what I'm saying here, okay? And I have set thee so, God made it so. Oh, it's up there. You know, these things are up there, and I never look at that. Never. Okay, I need to look at that more. I was going to ask if Greg had that up there. I have set thee as so, I set thee, and thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. I got to move on. Thou wast perfect in the ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. This is when Satan fell. And when he said, I will, we read in Isaiah, I will ascend into heaven, I will be like the Most High God. He wanted the worship of man. When he saw Adam, you know what Satan wants today? He wants the worship of man. Hey, you see it on the anyway. Verse number 15. Thou wast perfect in the ways that from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. I got to move on. So we see that Lucifer was a cherub, not just a cherub, an anointed cherub. Back in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 5. On the day of atonement, the high priest would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat to cover the tables of law within the ark. They'd been breaking the law. So the purpose, I'm jumping ahead of myself. God did not look at the broken law. He looked at the blood. Did you get that? That's so important. That's why, remember, the law is in the ark of the covenant. The law had been broken. So the high priest would come and he would place the blood upon that ark, and God no longer looked at the law that was broken. He looked at the blood of that sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Christ, just another, Christ is now our mercy seat. He is our propitiation, and time won't allow. I see a bunch of you taking notes. Write these verses down, okay? It speaks of propitiation and Christ being our mercy seat. John 3:25. 1 John 2:2. Again, it speaks that Jesus is our propitiation. And then you see in 1 John 4:10. All speaks of that, the mercy seat, propitiation, that now Christ is our propitiation. Let me get this. And then the rest of verse number 5, it says, of which we cannot now speak particularly. What does that mean, preacher? It literally means, Paul means that he's not going into detail of the significance of each article of the tabernacle. That's not his purpose in writing this. He's not going to explain to this what all the, because they already knew what these, what the candlestick was about, what the Ark of the Covenant, they knew what, so he didn't have to go into detail like I do Gentiles. You know, most of us have no clue. That's the only reason I went into detail. He said, I don't have to.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.